Good morning. Welcome to First Christian Church. As you just saw in the video, today is Orphan Sunday. And if you have your bulletin, go ahead and pull out this blue sheet. This is for you to know how you can care for orphans. Now, this is not the complete exhaustive list of how to do that, but we wanted to help you out because, again, it is Orphan Sunday. And this message is all about how to understand and how to capture the heart of God. Because when we see things like we just saw in the video, and when we experience the things that we're going to experience out in the hallway as we visit those tables, and you'll learn more about that in just a second, we understand and we catch a glimpse of the heart of God. So this morning our focus is going to be on serving the world. And my name is Dan. I'm one of the pastors here if this is your first time here. And before we dive into that really important message, we need to introduce the person to my right who really messes up the age level up here and the average of the pulpit. So
I bring some class.
And you look much better. But anyway, introduce yourself.
Good morning. My name is Bradley Clark, and I'm on staff here at First Christian Church as the benevolence pastor. Now, what that means is I oversee the three main branches of our benevolence ministries. The biggest one that takes up the most of my time and attention is our common goods ministry. Now, you've heard us talk about this before if you've been around here a while, but Common Goods is a thrift store located just north of the church building here. And it's a place where people in need can come and get free clothing for their families. So we're able to help with a basic need, and we all know times are tough around here. So Common Goods is where most of my focus goes to, but I also partner with some of our volunteers, and Ralph and Marsha Wolf, and we do our First Fruits food ministry once a month, where we distribute some food to people in need, and we also partner with the Akron Canton Food Bank to make that happen. And then also, we have our regular benevolence ministry where either people from the church or people from the surrounding community who may be needing a little bit of help, they come in and they talk with me, and we try to help them. We aren't able to always help everybody, but we try to help them as best they can to ease the burden a little bit.
Can you guys thank Bradley for what he does here at First Christian? Yeah. Bradley does all of that and more. He even preaches when the guy asked him to preach, and he does that at part-time, and he works full-time, but he's paid for part-time here. He does a whole lot for us, so I'm really excited that Bradley's here. But an important question that we need to ask before we continue on with our series here called The Game Plan is, why do a series like this? I mean, what's this whole deal with a football play and a game plan? Well, I think we need to understand that this helps us to know what we should be doing first and foremost as followers of Jesus. This is just basically what the scriptures say. This is what we should be doing as followers of Jesus, but also as investors in First Christian Church. If you're a part of First Christian Church, this is who we are. And if you've been here over the past 5 weeks, you know that our vision is to simply reflect Jesus as the best source of hope for all people. That's not just our vision. That's what we see in the scriptures. This is what we should be doing. And our strategy to help us reflect Jesus as the best source of hope for all people is to worship God daily, connect in community, serve the world, and also give generously. So that's what we're focusing on here. And this is all a part of a discipleship process that looks this way. We want people to move from a learning disciple, simply just hearing or learning something, to a growing disciple, and then into a serving disciple, and then into a reproducing disciple who takes what you learn here or in your own personal time and pours into others. This is what we see here in our scriptures. This is what First Christian Church is all about. And so over the past several weeks, we've looked intently at what it means to worship and also to connect as a disciple at First Christian Church. And so this week, we're going to look at the next part of our whole discipleship strategy, which is all about serving the world. And we add a tagline to that, in big and small ways and in near and far places. And honestly, I can't think of a better person to do that than Bradley Clark. So Bradley, let's get started here. Why should we serve? Why is serving important?
Well, the essence of Jesus' mission here on earth can be summed up in verse 45 of Mark chapter 10. So what I want you to do is repeat after me. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served.
Did not come to be served.
But to serve.
But to serve.
And to give his life.
And to give his life.
As a ransom for many.
As a ransom for many.
Let's do that again. For even the Son of Man. Did not come to be served.
Did not come to be served.
But to serve.
But to serve.
And to give his life.
To give his life.
As a ransom for many.
As a ransom
Put simply, Jesus came to serve and to give. And a classic example of this is when Jesus washes the feet of his disciples, and you can find that in John chapter 13. Now, washing feet was a menial task that was normally done by a servant, but there was no servant here in this instance. And none of the other guys that Jesus was with stepped up to take care of that. Also, usually washing feet was done as one first entered into the house, because that's when your feet would be the dirtiest and the dustiest from your travels. But here, Jesus performs this act of service in the middle of the meal to emphasize a point. It was a lesson in humility, but also an example of selfless service, which Jesus would ultimately fulfill by giving up his life on the cross for our sins. Not only does Jesus show us what to do by example in this passage, but he outright says for us to do it. In John 13, verses 14 and 15, it says this: "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." Also, when we model Christ's example of being a humble servant, when we truly begin to reflect Jesus in our service to others, the Bible promises God's favor. Proverbs 14:21 says, "He who despises his neighbor's sins, but blessed is he who is kind to the needy." Now, don't misunderstand something here. We're not talking about works by faith, or faith by works. Got that backwards. We don't serve just to hopefully get something back from God and try to work our way into heaven. That's salvation based on works, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more later on. But when we do model Christ-like servant hearts and attitudes and actions towards others, then there will be spiritual blessings in our lives. The author of the book of Hebrews writes in chapter 6, verse 10, from the New Living Translation, "God will not forget how hard you have worked for him and how you have shown your love to him by caring for other Christians as you still do." So why get involved? Why serve? Because Christ first set the example, and because God favors our humble service. Again, repeat after me, Mark 10:45, For even the Son of Man did not come to be served,
but to serve,
and to give his life,
as a ransom for many. And Bradley, I think it's really important for us just to kind of pause right here and think about that. Because when we serve, not only are we reflecting Jesus who came as a servant, but we are actually bringing justice and restoration to this world. And I think a really good passage that helps us to capture that is found in Matthew 25, beginning in verse 31. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn there. If you're new to the Bible and don't know how to find that, I want to help you out. Matthew is in the last third of the Bible. And we're looking for the very first book of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 31. And as you turn there, let me provide you with a little bit of context here. I mean, this is a scene painted by Matthew, and it really gives us good insight into a long discourse where Jesus kind of just goes off on people. He goes off on people, especially those religious leaders, and their failure to reflect God the Father and live as the people of God. It got Jesus really angry when people didn't live as they should. Jesus also spoke boldly of the last days and his coming exaltation of King and the judgment of the entire world. I mean, this is something that's very sobering here, something that will one day happen. And it isn't meant to make us question our salvation, because if we have committed our lives to Jesus, then our salvation in him is secure. The scriptures affirm that when we are reminded of this, we know that nothing can separate us from the love of God if we are in Christ Jesus. However, this passage should open our eyes to what is expected of Christians. It should be a motivation for us to be the church, not to simply play church. And for not yet believers, this is sobering because this passage reminds us that there is a King of Kings and there is a Lord of Lords who will one day judge us all. And that's sobering for some of us. But while it is sobering, especially because of the length of our lives, it's never guaranteed. In fact, James tells us that our lives are but a mist. That's sobering, but we know this, that there is a promise of the gift of eternal life and full forgiveness when we commit our lives to Christ. And no one can ever take that away from us. So as we go through this passage here this morning, If you have questions about that or you want to know how you can do that, then after our message here, I just invite you to come forward and talk to one of us because we want to help you understand how you can do that. And so with all that in mind, let's dive into our text here. Matthew 25, verse 31 and following. If I could turn to the right page. There we go. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you drink? And then when do we see you a stranger and welcome you or naked and clothe you? And when do we see you sick or in prison and visit you? Verse 40, and the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these brothers and sisters, you did it to me. I mean, this passage is so completely packed with so much meaning here. It is absolutely loaded. And what we see here is a scene of what will one day come for all of us, a judgment on the entire world. And so we see a separation of people, of sheep and goats. You might be asking yourselves, well, what's up with sheep and goats? Well, we're going to get into that here in just a second. But what we really see here is a theme of justice that will one day be done. Because without a doubt, justice is one of the deepest longings of our human hearts. In fact, many of us, we really struggle when justice is left undone. When we see people oppressed or mistreated or overlooked, it can literally make us sick to our stomachs when we see those things. But what we see here is a scene of justice done on a worldwide scale, not to punish those who are wicked, but more importantly, to bring balance to this world, to make it right, to allow the world to be the way that it should be, the way it was when God first created it, to bring it back. In other words, to restore the world through justice and also restoration. In fact, Bradley, I think before we go any further, we need a clear definition of what justice is. So our good friend that we know very well, Bradley and I both, his name is Noah Webster, and he said that justice is the virtue which consists in giving everyone what is his due. And so in this scene, we see that Jesus will one day bring complete justice and restoration to this world. And listen, this is exciting good news because there's so much brokenness and sadness and evil all around us. We feel the effects of sin and brokenness every day of our lives, right? I think we all experience that. And so we all long for Jesus to come back and also to make things right and bring the world back into balance. And so this passage explains exactly how Jesus will do this. Jesus will one day appear as the one true king, and he will separate people into two groups. He'll separate them into sheep and also to goats. And in the Middle East, even to this very day, sheep and goats, they graze together, but they have to be separated at night so that the goats can keep warm because they don't have wool. So because sheep and goats are similar in size and color, especially when they're in a group, it can be difficult to tell them apart from each other. And so Jesus answers the question, well, how can you tell sheep and goats apart when it comes to people? And so he says here, he will tell us apart by how we served, how we loved, and how we treated the least of these. And so a really important question that we need to stop and ask here is, well, who are the least of these? Jesus tells us in Matthew 12, beginning in verse 46, Matthew explains a really incredible interaction here. Matthew 12, verse 46. And while he, meaning Jesus, was still speaking to the people, behold, his mother and his brothers stood outside asking him to speak. But he replied to the man who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And stretching his hands towards his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. So according to Jesus, serving the least of these brothers and sisters means simply serving humanity. It means serving people created in the image of God. Children, senior adults, babies, Africans, Europeans, everyone, but specifically those whom Jesus counts as his family. Now, you need to catch this here. That means people who are the least of these are those who hear the voice of God and do what he says. So the least of these mentioned in this scripture are followers of Jesus. And we can't stretch that to mean anyone else, because when the least of these are served, Jesus is served. And justice and restoration is brought to our world. And we all need that. The world's brought back into balance. Now, of course, this does not mean that Christians themselves should not model this and serve others. You've already heard that Jesus came to serve, and we should model and emulate that. And really, the main point of this scene is about bringing justice and restoration to those brothers and sisters who are mistreated, who are overlooked, and sometimes simply left for dead. And Jesus says that we should serve them. And when we do, we are in fact serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So clearly, serving brings justice and restoration to this world. Serving the world in big and small ways and in near and far places brings justice and restoration to our world.
So now let's look at the rest of this passage in Matthew. We're going to look at the dark side of the good news, because not only does it deal with reward and salvation, but also with judgment and punishment as well. So we'll pick it up with verse 41, Matthew 25, starting with verse 41. Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They will also answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. So as I was studying for today, getting ready for this message, a couple of things that I hadn't considered before just kind of came to mind. First, we really don't know for certain who these goat people are, the people that are on his left. Who are they? Because both groups of people, the sheep and the goats, actually call Jesus Lord. So are they people who just outright rejected the gospel when they heard it? Or are these people who outwardly accepted the gospel message, but then they failed to have an internal heart change when they heard the message? So back in Matthew 15, Jesus calls out some other hypocrites by quoting scripture. It says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." Jesus doesn't want lip service, plain and simple. God doesn't want your hollow service from an empty spirit. When we're talking about serving others, it's more than just a concern for humanity or a nod to social reform. It's more than just doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do. There has to be a relationship with Christ as Savior at the center of all this. It's a submission of our lives under obedience to him, and then our Christ-like humble service to others will flow from that intimacy that we have with Christ. Psalm 51, 16 through 17 says this, "You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart you, God, will not despise." And notice that simply acknowledging Jesus as Lord is not enough to save them from the consequences of eternal punishment. We also see this earlier in Matthew when Jesus once again distinguished between righteousness and unrighteousness. Chapter 7 of Matthew, beginning with the end of verse 20, reads, "By their fruit you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." And as Dan mentioned earlier, we need to stop playing church, just going through the motions, and start being the church, serving and sharing with our Christian brothers and sisters and also the surrounding community in Jesus' name. The second thing I found interesting about studying all of this is that both groups of people, both the sheep and the goats, were surprised at their qualifications. The sheep were surprised, which always amazed me. The sheep were surprised when Jesus commends them for their actions, just as the goats were surprised by his response to their non-actions. So this shows us that neither group was working for their salvation. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, "It is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast." Not by works, so that no one can boast. We can never show enough kindness, never log enough volunteer hours, never do enough good things in this world to get ourselves into heaven. However, this passage in Matthew does provide the criterion for determining who goes where by how a person responds to the least of these brothers of Jesus. A person who does not actively follow the example of Jesus in serving the needs of broken and hurting people cannot be his disciple. This should serve as our warning. How we serve our fellow man is how we serve Christ. How we serve our fellow man is how we serve Christ. Romans 12, beginning with verse 10, says this, "Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keeping your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality." So again, repeat after me our Mark 10 verse. "For even the Son of Man,"
"for even the Son of Man,"
"did not come to be served,"
"did not come to be served,"
"but to serve,"
"but to serve,"
"and to give his life as a ransom for many."
Give his life as a ransom for many.
So as Dan talked about earlier, we're here to talk about serving this week in near and far places and in big and small ways. And naturally, we would encourage you to take advantage of serving here with the many opportunities that First Christian Church offers in meeting the world's needs. Because you know what? We're kind of partial to this place. And we believe that what we're doing here is for God, and it's going to create great fruit. So we want you to come along. Think about partnering with our children's and student ministries and love on the next generation. Use your talents or gifts and abilities in our worship team and our technical teams. We're blessed with an amazing developmentally disabled ministry here, and they would just be thrilled for you to come and volunteer some time and serve them and pour your life into their lives. There's some mission trips that we're planning coming up in the new year, and maybe it's time for you to take a big step of faith and serve other people in ways that I promise you will forever change your heart and change your outlook on this world. And then there's common goods that we talked about earlier, where we minister on average to more than 300 people every month by providing them clothing. But we offer more to them than what they can just find on the racks in the store. Our volunteers build a rapport with our customers, and they call them by name, they pray for them, they encourage them, they offer a sympathetic ear or an encouraging word, and they invite them to church. And many times I tell our volunteer crews that they may be the only positive thing that's going on in those people's lives that day, the only thing. That's reflecting Jesus as the source of hope for hurting people. We care for them beyond just providing free clothing. And times are tough for these families. That's why we want to go above and beyond what we normally do throughout the year by providing a brand new toy for each of our Common Goods children this Christmas season. This is what we've done the past several years, and we're going to do it again. So throughout the month of November, we'll have a table out in the lobby. Today it's straight out these doors here, and I encourage you to stop by there. You can pick the child or the children you would like to bless by their age and gender, and then just go Christmas shopping. We ask that you spend about $25 on each toy, and then bring those unwrapped gifts back to the church in a gift bag, preferably by December 8th. And then in the meantime, our volunteers from Common Goods will be setting up the hospitality suite out here so that throughout December, when Common Goods is open, the families will be able to come over here and they can choose themselves, choose that special gift for their son or daughter. If you remember back to what your favorite toy was when you were growing up, that's the kind of feeling we want to be able to help with at this Christmas time for these guys. I had a friend that many times used a phrase, and perhaps you've heard it before, we are blessed to be a blessing. Mm-hmm. For some of us, we may be able to bless two or three or four children without much pressure. But for some, providing $25 for one gift for one child may be a sacrifice. And that's okay either way. But whatever you choose to do, however you choose to help, we encourage you to do it for the least of these in Jesus' name. Last year, we provided new toys for 1,300 children. 1,290-some is the exact number.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Great.
Yeah. 1,300 children that you helped provide a brand new toy for, and we're expecting that many again this year, if not a few more. So we need your help to pull this off. And while the toy giveaway is a huge focus for us in November and December, our regular benevolence ministries that I talked about continue on. So perhaps it's time for you to maybe step up and volunteer in a new way by joining one of our crews over at Common Goods. We've got daytime shifts and evening shifts, and we can help you get plugged in. Maybe it's just providing a few extra food donations for our First Fruits food ministry throughout the holidays. Or perhaps you're able to give a monetary gift above and beyond your regular tithe to the benevolence ministries so we can continue to help the people of our community when they need it. So if you're interested in serving in one of those ways, come talk to us. If you're interested in finding something else out, whether you're brand new to First Christian or whether you've been here a while, our Connections Cafe out there in the corner, where big guy Aaron will be there, he's there to help you find ways that you can carry out part of this mission of ours by serving near and far.
And so I think we need to put some feet to all this, Bradley. This is all really good stuff, but I think James 1:27 summarizes and captures the essence of everything we're talking about here this morning. This will be up on the screen. James 1:27 tells us that religion that God our Father accepts, so you know a really important statement is about ready to follow here, as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress. What I love about First Christian Church is that many of you, you read this kind of stuff. You're not satisfied with just hearing or even knowing it or saying it in Greek. You want to go do this. This is what this is all about. So if we're a Christ follower, James spells it out so clearly for us, everything that we're talking about here this morning, to look after orphans and widows and to serve our world. And so we want to help you to do just that. In fact, as soon as we're done here, out in the main lobby on either side of our cafe, there are some tables set up with organizations that can help us connect and serve those who are orphans, the Christian Children's Home of Ohio, the Pregnancy Support Center, Life Song for Orphans. They all have tables so that you can go and get connected with them and live out James 1:27. And by doing so, not only are you serving children, you are serving Jesus Christ himself. Also, widows, we have the Canton Christian Home, a longtime partner through our missions organization here. They have a table right here to the left. Once you exit the main doors here, you can check out them. Also, the Martin Center, which is a great place for us to serve those in need in downtown Canton. The Smiths, if you guys would just wave. They are missionaries from here to the Martin Center to Canton to bless those people. Compassion International is also represented, and of course, Common Goods. But we all want to live out James 1:27. This is about mobilizing this church to reach outside of our four walls here and to live out the things that Jesus expects of us and to be those sheep and not those goats and to serve Jesus Christ himself. That's what it's all about.
The final verse of our Matthew passage clearly reveals that when Christ returns for final judgment, we're going to end up in one of two places. So let's look back at the last verse, verse 46 in Matthew 25. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. So justice and restoration will occur. Those who have been so preoccupied with themselves that they haven't developed that relationship with Christ and who've showed no compassion to others will be condemned to eternal punishment. And the worst part about hell is that it's total separation from God. But those who have been in a relationship with Christ and who know him as their Savior, and those who have followed his example of humble service to others who are in need, will be rewarded with eternal life, forever being in the presence of God. So let's read together for one last time this verse from Mark 10 that we've been learning. Let's read it together. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. The word ransom means the price paid for release from bondage. He was crucified on the cross, but God's power raised him from the dead back to life again so that those who believe in and follow him don't have to suffer the consequences that sin demands. His death and resurrection gives us new life. 2 Corinthians 5:14 through 15 says this, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So as the band comes on out and gets ready to lead us in our final song, Dan and I would like to encourage you to come forward. If you've got something that's heavy on your mind and you need some prayer, we'll pray for you. If you've got some issues that are going on in your life that maybe you need to just talk about, repentance or confession or just an encouraging word from us, come and share those with us. We're here for you. If there's something that's going on that you feel God's Holy Spirit is speaking to you and you're not quite sure what it means, come and we'll talk to you about that and we'll pray about that together. We just want you to be open to the Spirit and how God's Spirit is going to lead us. So I'm going to ask that you stand, and I'm going to close us in a word of prayer, continuing to seek God's face. Heavenly Father, we just offer up our praises and our thanks to you. We ask, Father, that you would continue to move in each of us. Open our eyes and open our hearts, Lord, to the many opportunities that surround us. Maybe there are opportunities in our own homes to minister to those around us. Perhaps in our workplace or other volunteer areas that we're involved with. Okay. Show us, Lord, where we can be the hands and feet of Christ to these people, where we can meet their needs. Father, help us not to be timid about this. Help us not to be shy in any way, but be bold in stepping up, because we know that when we serve those around us, we are serving you. We just want to honor you with what we do. So I pray that your Spirit would continue on in this place. And we lift this all up, giving you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.